fourth case, Zeeley v. Gonzalez. Mr. Cola.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court, counsel. With regard to Mr. Zeeley's case, as this court is well aware, a person is entitled to asylum if they can show past persecution or a well-founded fear of future persecution. In this particular case, the immigration judge found my client credible with regard to the asylum claim. However, she felt he wasn't entitled to asylum based on the fact that she made a conclusion that he had not suffered past persecution and that the country conditions had changed to such an extent that he wasn't entitled to it any longer if he had, in fact, met the past persecution claim. With regard to my client, we believe the judge erred in several regards. And this is what is a common theme that comes up in these asylum cases is judges tend to nitpick and take one part of a case out and analyze that independently of the whole context of what transpires in a person's life and in the country. In this particular case, Mr. Dazili is an ethnic Albanian, a Muslim, living in Macedonia. At the time when he fled his country was in civil war. The Macedonian army was attacking the Albanians. The Albanians had set up a National Liberation Army, the UCK or the NLA, and they were fighting the Macedonians. There was active fighting at that time in the country. Mr. Dazili has a cousin, Tahir, who is a leader of the UCK, the UCK. Based on that, they were trying to get him to join the army, the Liberation Army. He refused to join. He decided not to take a stance on that point. They, when he didn't join that army, took that as he was a traitor, he was against the Albanian people. They threatened his life. That forced him to leave the jurisdiction where he was and go to a different town. On the other side of that coin, we have the Macedonian government sending him four notices to appear for the army. And this army that he would join would be the army that's fighting the Albanians, and in essence fighting his cousin in this case. So he was put literally in a rock and a hard place. Either join the Albanian Liberation Army, which he did not want to do, or join the Macedonian army, which would be fighting his own people, which he did not want to do.
So you're accusing the IJ of not looking at the whole picture, but on the other hand, there is a need to look at the individual pieces before you put it together. And as for a couple of these points, the beating he gets from the Macedonian police, I mean, we are in the unfortunate business of deciding, you know, how bad was it? And we have cases like Dandan that suggest it's really got to be pretty awful. And the immigration judge makes an assessment of this and says, when you take into account everything, you know, the number of times this happened, how bad it was, et cetera, it's not all the way up to the level of persecution. And as for not showing up for the Macedonian army, we have cases that say you don't really, the asylum laws don't privilege you to ignore draft notices. I mean, how could we have a law like that?
Correct. With regard to both points, Your Honor is correct with regard to that. We have to look at individual cases. And this court and the immigration judge and the BIA has the hard decision of saying how much me hitting you on the head is enough for persecution.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But and how can this court, I mean, the standard of review is a strict one, of course. You have to convince us that the evidence doesn't just permit but compels the conclusion opposite to that which the immigration judge reached.
And I think in this case it does. Because what we have to do is if a police officer comes and hits an individual citizen on the street, hits him over the head, that's a crime the police officer commits against the individual citizen. But where we have the context of a whole country, one ethnic group of the country is attacking another ethnic group of the country, using the government, using the military, using the police to oppress one group. And then in that group, we have one officer attacking one member of that group, then I think we have more than just a police officer hitting someone on the head.
But we still need to look at whether it's just hitting him on the head or whether it's dragging him off to, you know, some awful jail and keeping him in terrible conditions for days. You know, you know what all of these cases are like. And this, the immigration judge makes the judgment that this is not quite across the line.
Well, they hit him to the point that he lost consciousness on the street.
I know, they beat him to that point.
But
she believes him. It's not a question of credibility.
Correct. She believes him in that regard. But now this is where the hard issue comes into play. And I think the issue the benefit of the doubt should be given to my client in this case. You're in the middle of a civil war where one side is obliterating the other side. And one police officer as part of the apparatus of that country, has decided, I'm going to beat up this Albanian, who also has the same last name of a member of the leader of the opposition. So we can't take it out of that context.
I mean, the seriousness of the beating is one issue, but also if the IJ is correct here, this was a sort of a rogue police officer who was involved in this. And in those situations, you'd have to have a difficult time proving that there was some official involvement.
But we know there's an official involvement in this case because there was an active war going on between the Macedonians and the Albanians. Now, this says this because one soldier shot one individual Albanian, he was acting on his own. I think it's ludicrous in this regard. The country, there was military operations bombing Albanian cities on the western side of Macedonia. And in this time, during the bombing, tanks were deployed, helicopters were used in attacking Albanian villages. We're supposed to take that individual case of this one officer and this one individual Albanian and say, listen, we're going to take this out of the picture. We're not going to include this in the whole scenario of what's going on in the country. I think we can't do that. I think we have to put it in the context.
But if we're going to do that, then I think you need to reach the IJ's other finding, which is that circumstances have changed notably in the country, and now indeed there are elected Albanians in the parliament, and this is simply a very different situation now than it was before. I realize had past persecution been found, there would have been a presumption of future, but even that can be rebutted, and if past persecution wasn't found, then you just have to prove well-founded fear of future, and she says no.
Okay. With regard to the changed country conditions, and this is, the immigration judges rely on these State Department reports that are generated from some individual, unknown individual in a State Department somewhere at an embassy. With regard to these reports, and this court has always said that it's not the holy writ, but if you look at the same report that she makes reference to, and she justifies her position saying that changed country conditions have taken place, there are numerous accounts in that report which shows that situation still bad. And I've cited several of those in my brief, and I won't go through them during this time because I see my time's running out. But there's numerous incidents in that very report that she uses that say the country conditions are such that it's okay to go back. And there's numerous conditions that show that it's not. There's arbitrary arrests, there's beatings. There's a case where there were several refugees or immigrants who were shot and killed up to 56 times per person, and they were Albanian.
Not killed 56
no,
times.
No, shot 56 times. They were shot as many as 56 times, and uniforms or weapons of the Albanian National Army were placed on by their person. So that indicates to me, the valid argument to say that, look, it hasn't changed. And with regard to that, we have nothing in the State Department report or even in the immigration judge's findings says the Albanian National Army still won't be out to get them. And that's one part that was left vague and undecided in this case. With regard to, and I want to address this before counsel gets agreed, there's a third argument in here as far as the due process violation. Recently in a discussion I had with one of the immigration judges, he pointed out a BIA decision that addresses that issue. So just for the purposes of this, we are withdrawing that argument. I was going to forward that to the court, but I was out of the country for a while, and my secretary did not mail that out. So that's the third argument. I want to save counsel time from arguing that position. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott. Ms. Woods.
Thank you. May it please the court. In this case, the petitioner relies on a singular incident to establish past persecution. This court has routinely held in Dandan, Prela, and then very recently in Zhu versus Gonzalez that when the petitioner is relying on a single incident, the persecution must be severe. And in Zhu, the court said not only that, but there must be accompanying factors. You have to look at whether the persecution was prolonged, what else was going on besides one single incident. In this case, the record does not compel reversal of the IJ's decision because this was an isolated incident. There are really two things missing here from the petitioner's persecution argument. One is that the persecution simply was not severe enough under the court's previous holdings. Secondly,
but you know, on that first one, I realize that we have the holding in Dandan, but it seems so arbitrary. Here's this guy who's being beat with a rubber stick by the Macedonian police officer, and maybe he doesn't wind up with broken bones or broken teeth, but if he had simply turned his head in the wrong direction, maybe the stick would have hit his teeth. It's the same beating. It strikes me that perhaps we need more data, in a sense, about what's going on.
Yes, Your Honor, and that's why it's the petitioner's burden to come forth with that evidence. And as you noted, in this case, the IJ did find the petitioner credible. She counted his testimony about what occurred, and she herself acknowledged in the decision that this was a tough case. It's simply looking at the previous Seventh Circuit decisions did not rise to that level. The second, I suppose, link that's missing here is, although there's a suggestion from petitioner's counsel that this occurred because of his refusal to serve in the military, the record does not support that. The decision that the IJ reached, and the petitioner concedes this in his brief, is that it was because he was an ethnic Albanian and he was targeted by a rogue police officer. So there's no evidence in the record that this was part of a government-wide action against people who were refusing to serve in the military. Rather,
I thought his argument was, though, it's because he was Albanian. I mean, I always worry about arguments that if you're targeted because of your ethnic identity, somehow you're not being persecuted. You know, that would, of course, lead you to say that the Jews weren't persecuted in Nazi Germany, which surely can't be correct.
In this case, however, there was no evidence that this was anything more than a rogue police officer. That's the decision the IJ reached, and it's one that...
But based on what evidence? How did the IJ have any reason to assume one way or the other about that? Maybe if it's a Macedonian police officer, they beat up all Albanians.
I believe it was based on the lack of evidence that... First of all, that he, the police officer, would not face repercussions for doing this. It was one of those situations where he was harassing the petitioner, show me your papers, and then the incident occurred. Secondly, and this is moving into the future persecution prong, but the IJ found that the circumstances had changed in Macedonia since 2001. Well, she not only found that, but also addressed, I think, the petitioner's, the thrust of his argument here today, which is that because the situation is generally bad in Macedonia, the court should reverse this case. And the court held in Salimi and also in Alimi, and in Salimi specifically addressing the situation in Macedonia in 2001, that changed circumstances that circumstances have since changed. And that's a legitimate basis for the IJ to make her decision. Also, that an overall bad situation in a country does not make every ethnic Albanian a refugee, that petitioner must still come forward with individual circumstances to prove that he has been persecuted in the past, and here that's not been met. So unless the court has any further questions, I would ask that you deny the petition to review. Thank you.
Mr. Kohler?
Just briefly, with regard to this, because we're not saying it's a rogue police officer. We're saying it's the Macedonian government have targeted the Albanians. And it's clear and it's borne out. It's contained in the record. It was on the news. It was active fighting between the Macedonians, targeting the Albanians, bombing Albanian villages. With regard to the persecution itself, Your Honor is right with regard to that. If he would have turned one way, he might have had a broken nose. So they'd say, just because you turned right, you turned left, you get denied asylum. I don't think that should be the standard in any case. If we come forward and I attack a judge, I beat a judge, and I break his arm, and then doesn't break the other judge's arm, does that mean all of a sudden one judge deserves something?
We have
the other
a different
judge?
Standard for... attacking judges.
There you go, yeah. There you go. But what it is
very
this is the situation is this, is that this person presented a claim and we have he's entitled to asylum in this regard. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Woods. The case is taken under advisement. The court will